All right, my name is Brian Dodd, and from an official standpoint, I'm one of the elders here at the church, so it's an honor to come and spend time with you and just let you know how much we think about you and pray for you and love you, and even though we're upstairs, our hearts are always down here. And so I just want to say that's in an official capacity. In an unofficial capacity, I am just a guy. You know, I love action movies and am so thrilled the Miami Heat won the NBA title, and I'm a huge LeBron fan. Yeah, I thank the three Miami Heat fans in the house tonight or this morning. And so I'm just an average guy, but I think probably the most defining thing about me is that I passionately love Jesus with all my heart. And that is the main thing that if you were to talk to me or what defines me, that would be it. I am thrilled to be part of the Wonder Series. I'm going to talk with you today about something every one of you has thought about, and depending on who you are, has varying degrees of importance right now. And some of you spend a lot of time figuring out how to do this. Some of you spend a lot of time figuring out how to keep this. And some of you are just kind of mad about it. So you say, I have nothing to do with it and don't want anything to do with it, but it is still on your mind. And I'm going to talk to you today on how to become popular. Okay? Now, when I was a high schooler and middle schooler back in the ancient days of the 1980s, that was a big deal back then, and it's a big deal today. And so anyway, we're going to talk about that. So before I get started, I want to hear from you. Y'all just throw me out some answers. To become, what do you have to do to become popular? Let me just hear from you.
Be nice.
Be nice, okay. People skills, excellent. Yes, sir. Cash helps. Yes, you can define, yes, okay. All right, what else? Sports is big. All right, got two sports. Yeah, you can measure popularity by Facebook friends, okay? And what's that? Nothing. Okay, very good. So, close. Very good. Andy, what do you think? Okay. Yes. Okay, well, flirting, yeah, that could either make you very popular or very unpopular, depending on who you are, so we'll just leave it like that. Well, I also went on Facebook and Twitter this week to find out what other people thought about being popular, and I'll get to that in a second. But before I do that, I want everybody, this is why it's cool to have me here. I'm going to do what they don't let you do. Everybody pull your phones out. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Get your phones out. And if you don't have a phone, break out a sheet of paper you can write on or something like that. If you don't have any paper, lipstick, mascara, chalk, whatever you got, okay? Let's just get something. I want to see phones. Hold up phones. All right? Very good. I want everybody right now to go to Facebook. Once again, if you don't have Facebook or you don't have your phone, I want you to write this down. If you don't write it, Twitter's great too. Twitter's great. And we're about to put something on the screen. I'm going to give you a 5-second countdown so everybody's queued up, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, okay? All right. Next screen, this is what I want everybody to Facebook or tweet or write down right now. I am popular with Jesus. I want you to tell the entire world and your sphere of influence, I am popular with Jesus. Okay? All right. Also, if you remember nothing about what I say, and you walk out here and you can only remember 5 words of that crazy gray-headed guy that showed up this morning, okay? 5 words. I am popular. Would you say it with me? I am popular. Oh, my heavens, that's just sad. Okay, we got to do it again. All right, one more time with a little, I am popular with Jesus. Much better, much better. Okay, so I went on Facebook and Twitter this week, and I asked people, because I've got your opinions, and actually they're great opinions, but what they thought about how to become popular. So let's take a look at some of the things that I got on Facebook and Twitter this week. Here's Anita Davis Sullivan, and she said, at Brian K. Dodd, that's me, do for others. As an adult, that makes you popular, much more than wearing cool kids did or cool clothes did as a kid. Thank you. Hey, look, just because I'm old, I can't read. So there you go. All right? And being funny. All right? I also went to Facebook. Here's some things on Facebook. This is David Abiola, okay? He's a pastor that follows me. He's from Africa, so he sends me stuff all the time. And he said, sir, some people become popular just because they broke the law or norms that guide the society they live in. For instance, some youths might decide to go in some crimes that might make them become famous in their community. Do y'all know kids at school, or even hopefully not in this room, but it could be in this room, that because of the way they act and bad things they do, they come off across as being cool? Y'all know anybody like that? Yeah, well, that's true in Africa also. Okay, next. Cammie Shade says, change attitudes towards other students. Who said being nice? This gentleman right here, Cammie Shade, would agree with you. Okay? And finally, next. Lynn Smith said, when I asked the question, how do you become popular? She said, oh, the pressure. I asked my kids, 17 and 20, and here are their answers. Being really funny, throw good parties, drive a cool car, and be the first kid to get their driver's license and give their friends rides. Is Lynn right? You know, the funny thing about that last statement, give their friends rides, when you get older, as a kid you think it's cool, but when you get older, it makes you feel like a servant. You know, it's just kind of funny how things change. But also, that's what some adults are saying about how to become popular. I think Jesus shows us some very fascinating things about popularity. And this is found in Mark chapter 10. We'll go to the next slide. And in Mark chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, a very unique thing happens. And we're going to separate on verse 1, verse 2, because those two contrast each other. Verse 1, it says, and they gathered to him again. Again's a big word because everywhere Jesus went, they gathered. He had a huge crowd with him. It's interesting, and you know, he didn't have a huge crowd at the cross, very few at the cross, but when he was doing his public ministry, extraordinarily popular. So they gathered to him again as he was accustomed. In other words, it was a custom every time Jesus showed up, large groups of people surrounded him, and he taught them again. Okay? So, by this verse right here, would you think Jesus is very popular? If there's a multitude gathering around you again and again and again, yes. But even the most popular people, let's go to verse 2. Even the most popular people have people that do not like them. Because in this midst of this huge gathering, the Pharisees came. And if you read that verse, and they started asking him questions to trap him, and they were testing him. So here's the thing if you're popular. No matter how popular you are, there are always going to be people who don't like you. That's just the fact. So the question is, how do you deal with that? And so I want to tell you a story about me, because not on the level of Jesus, but this is something I know a little bit about. So I'm going to take you back to 1984, okay? The year of Ronald Reagan, the year of Joe Montana winning the Super Bowl. Do any of these names register at all in your history classes? Okay, all right. In 1984 at North Cobb High School, we had the largest graduating class in history, 363 people. That record lasted 1 year, till 1985, when it was broken. But out of that huge class of people, yours truly, Brian Dodd, was the wittiest person in the entire class. I was one of the 12. I was a superlative. I wasn't Mr. North Cobb, but I was in the group, okay? So I guess by most measurements, I would probably have been classified as popular. However, as I just pointed out, when you are popular, there are people who don't like you. And sometimes they are extraordinarily passionate about how they don't like you, okay? And so I want to go to the next slide because I want to walk you through what the people that didn't like me, how they expressed that. Are y'all interested in that? Very good. This is my name, Brian Dodd. It's a basic name. It's not going to get me beat up or made fun of. You know, Brian actually means strength and virtue. I'm pretty proud of that, okay? You know, I'm okay with Brian Dodd. But like I said, the people that don't like you, they tend to get real creative and spend a lot of time figuring out how to, you know, ruin your day. So they came up by just moving some letters around. They came up with this: brain dead. And for the people that didn't like me, that was my nickname. Okay? And so that, and look, for the four of y'all that laughed, that ain't funny. I still struggle with that, okay? And it doesn't leave this room, okay? It stayed at North Cobb High School in 1984. It doesn't need to leave this room, okay? All right, so here's what I really want to do right now. I want to go ahead and walk you through a process, since I know a little bit about popularity, not a lot, but a little, about how to become popular. And for that, I need a volunteer. Who would like to come up and volunteer? All right, green shirt. The reason I'm picking Mr. Green Shirt is because he was really trying to volunteer in the minute to win it, and he wasn't picked, so you get picked here. Have a seat. Hey, I'm Brian Dodd. And what's your name?
Zachary.
And last name?
Okay,
Zachary has in burnt toast.
And I'm proud of it.
Hey, you should be. That's excellent. Okay. How's your summer going?
Great.
What have you done this summer that's made it great?
Some ministry camps and mostly a lot of ministry.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's fast. Thank you, Josh. All right. So Zachary's been doing ministry camps. What kind of ministry camps?
Well, I did a camp called Camp City Reach.
Okay.
Where we went out to some low-income neighborhoods and we just kind of taught the gospel to the kids and played with them and gave them snacks and just hung out with them and just kind of changed some kids over to Jesus.
Really? That is awesome. Now, tell me this, because you taught them the gospel, how'd you learn the gospel?
Well, my parents.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Did you do anything beyond that?
Well, I'm going to another one in Florida, but other than that, not much.
Okay. And how many kids accepted Jesus?
I'm not sure exactly, but at the end of the time, most of them said that they trusted God and were reading the Bible and stuff.
Oh, that is wonderful. Okay, everybody, let's thank Zachary for his time. It was great meeting you. Thank you, bud. All right. Okay. Let's walk through this. Based upon this conversation, the last 2 minutes, how much do you know about Zachary? He's a Christian. What else we know about Zachary? Helps kids, went to camp, you know, led some people to Jesus. He taught. He's been to school, got great parents. We know that because they're teaching him about Jesus. We know a lot about Zachary from these 2 minutes. From these 2 minutes, by the way, do y'all think that was kind of a cool conversation, something you'd want to do and be part of? Yeah, okay, well, we got one. Here's the thing. How much about me do you know from that conversation?
Nothing.
Yes, and you knew that before when I introduced myself. You know nothing about me. Psychologists claim the number one subject of people is themselves. If you want to be popular, you continually talk to people about them. we have a natural thing in us that we want to tell our story, and we think if it's cool or it's out there or something like that, we're going to be popular. It's the exact opposite. The more you care about people, the more you find out about people, the more you ask people questions, the more popular you will become. Okay? Now, does this have a biblical basis, what I'm about to tell you? And I think it does. Let's go to the next slide. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 to 43. Whoever desires to be great among you, great in your high school, great in your youth group, great in your neighborhood, whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desire to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. When you give yourself and you serve others, that is how you become popular. Now, there are practical reasons people want to do this, okay? But I think there are even some better reasons that people should do this. We are part of a wonder series right now. And let's talk about wonder. I love the ocean. I do. I love going to the beach. I love the mountains. I love the stars in the heavens. I'm as fascinated by a lunar eclipse as the next guy. And when Shark Week comes on, I can't take my eyes off of it. I am mesmerized during Shark Week, okay? The most wondrous thing God has ever created, listen to me, the most wondrous thing God has ever created is you, okay? And what I'm going to do now is, because some of you may not feel popular, some of you may not feel awesome, some of you may not feel great, some of you may not feel wondrous, I'm going to walk you through some Bible passages that I'm just going to lay it out, and I'm going to be real about this. That is a lie from the devil, and a lot of us have bought into it, and it is not accurate. So what we are going to do now is let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 26 through 31, and I'm going to read those to you. You know, when I was talking to him, it was very important that we understand a couple of things. Do you firmly believe not only you are God's most wondrous creation, but the people around you are? And if you don't believe that, that quite frankly is something you got to settle in your heart, and I'm going to try to help you do that. But see, here's the thing. If they are God's most wondrous creation, we should be fascinated by what God's doing in other people's lives. Because in each life represented in this room, and in each life in your neighborhood, in your school, and on your teams, and that kind of thing, God is telling a wondrous story about His Son's love for the world. And I am fascinated by other people and fascinated about what that story is. I'm fascinated by the fact that he grew up in a Christian home and his parents taught him the gospel. How'd they do that? I'm a parent. How'd they do that? How did they live their life? What did they spend their time doing? Do they do more morning devotions as a family? How do they do their prayers? Do they go to church every week? Is that a priority? Do they do community service? Do they go on mission trips? I'm fascinated by what his parents have done to invest in a young man that is leading people to Jesus Christ. I'm also fascinated how he's pulling that off through the power of God. When he sits down with those kids and talks to them, what exactly is he saying? How did he prepare? Where did he find those kids? Okay? I'm fascinated by that. And you know what? Each one of you have an equally fascinating story. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. So if you don't believe me, I want to help you out. 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In his own image, God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you the herbs of the field that yield seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds, to you it shall for food. Also to every beast on the earth, to every bird in the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and so it was so. And now here's the big one. By the way, this is God talking about you right now. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. He that made, and indeed it was very good. So that evening, the morning came, and it was sixth day. Okay? Now, that is talking about human beings as a broad-based creation. Okay? Now I want to specifically talk about you individually. And for that, we're going to go to Psalm 139. And there's the Bible verse. Okay? Psalm 139, 13 through 17. If anybody ever makes fun of you, okay, I want you to go to this verse. You know, in our family, that blonde young lady that sang, that's my daughter, okay? Her name is Anna. In our house, I have a simple approach that if somebody makes fun of another kid, it's a simple approach. And when that happens, I say, sweetie, if a person is making fun of you, that is not an indicator of you, that's an indicator of them. Because they have no clue about Psalm 139. They have no clue about what God's doing in the life of human beings. They have no clue about the value of beings. And if that's the case, let me explain this as your father. And now I'll explain it to you just as I'm Brian Dodd, your friend. That is not an indicator of you. That's an indicator of them. Okay? So Psalm 139. Let's look at 13 through 17. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. I love this word because this shows how God put you together. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days that fashioned me, when as yet there were none of them. Okay? Say it with me again. I am popular with Jesus. All right, very good. Now, here's the thing. You ever thought about God skillfully putting you together? God actually taking time to think through that process? God actually saying, I want them this height, you know, this way, looking this way, having this kind of personality type, you know, born in this country, having this color eyes, being this athletic or not that. You ever thought about God actually taking the time to think through that and putting you together? You know, we live in a world that is relentless in beating people down. The Bible is completely the opposite. Christianity is completely the opposite. You know, I don't know if you're struggling with religions on which one to pick. Here's what I know. Every other religion, you know, they sit there and they highlight death and destruction and taking people down. But Christianity celebrates love and life and the incredible potential that each human being has. And you have incredible potential. God skillfully wove you together. And if anybody ever tells you different, you go to Psalm 139 and you get that corrected in your heart. Y'all good with that? All right, very good, very good. All right, so with that being said, you are God's wondrous creation. You are popular with Jesus. I'm actually going to close out now by talking with two groups of people, okay? The first group of people I want to talk to is people who feel unpopular, okay? You know, I don't sit at the popular table. I'm not the popular crowd. Nobody talks to me, you know, that kind of thing. I want to talk to you. It is very important that I at least talk about this. Sometimes, to use a Western term, we blow our own foot off, you know, and none of us are perfect. That's why Jesus came. None of us are perfect. And I want to put this Bible verse up there. Okay? A man who has friends must himself be friendly. You know, let's be honest. Some of us in this room, a room this size, you're mad at the world. You know, it's just, that's just room this size. And you know what? I'm not even going as far as saying you're probably not unjustified for being mad at the world. But the reality of it is, do you know why it's important that Christians try to be friendly and have as much friends as possible? So they can do what that young man did and have the freedom and the authority and the ability to share God's love with people who aren't experiencing it. You can only win your friends to Christ. You can't win your enemies. Okay? And so, you know, as a 47-year-old man, there are still things about my personality that I work on every day trying to improve and try not to repel people. So now let's go to the second verse. Let's say you're doing everything you can and you just don't fit in and you're trying hard and you got a good heart and you're absolutely frustrated. This is your verse, most famous verse in the Bible. Here's what I want you to know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And actually, I love John 3:17. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, rather that the world through him might be saved. You are so popular with Jesus, he is so radically insane about you, that he said, I'm coming to earth and I'm going to die so that for not only on this planet, I can live with them through the power of my Holy Spirit, but through all eternity, I can hang with them. Do you realize when you get to heaven, you're going to get to take long walks with Jesus and he's going to just be talking to you about how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what's going on? Do you realize when you get to heaven, God loves you so much and is so radical about you that he's going to sit down and say, hey, look, I got this great table prepared. Let's sit down and have a meal together and let's just talk and let me tell you what all I've been doing. Okay? That's what's going to happen. That's how Jesus feels about you. Say it again. I am popular with Jesus. Say it again. All right, very good. Now, let's go to the next one. For those of you who are popular and you know who you are, okay? Let's talk about what your responsibility is as somebody popular. I'm going to say something to you right now nobody's probably ever said to you. You're not responsible for denying your popularity. You're responsible for leveraging it for the glory of God. Now, you don't want to brag about it. You know, that's pride and, you know, that ain't good. Okay? But you've got to be cognizant enough that for whatever reason, God's given you a certain amount of influence. You know, you look a certain way or you have a certain type of personality or you drive a certain car, or you're athletic or you play an instrument or whatever, okay? Y'all gave all the reasons people are popular. But here's the deal. When you're popular, God's expecting you to leverage that to bring people to him. If you're popular, when you come in here on a Sunday morning, if you see somebody new and they're not hanging out with anybody, you need to go to them and say, hey, come hang with us. Or you need to go to them and say, hey, I'm Brian Dodd. Well, I don't think we've met. What's your name? Okay? If you see somebody that's hurting, you're the one with the influence to go to them. If you see a kid getting made fun of or picked on, you're the popular one. You're the one who should stop that. You're the one who says, no, we don't do that here. Okay? God's telling an amazing story through their life, and I appreciate the fact that the three of you can't figure that out, but we don't do that here. Okay? As a popular person, that's your role and responsibility in the kingdom of God. You're to point people to Jesus Christ and to help people live a life that God can tell his marvelous story through them. So in closing, and then we're going to pray, I got about five applications. Okay? All right? So application number one is the next slide. Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone's life is celebrated. Now look, when y'all go out there, you may or may not be celebrated. I mean, that's, you know, it's just the world. Okay? But in here, on Sunday morning, And when you do your Bible studies, and when you go on your retreats, and when you go on your mission trips, and when you hang out together, and when you see the people in this room at school, Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone's life is celebrated. Number two, Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone can feel loved. You know, in a room this size, I'm not going to get into this today, I grew up in an extraordinarily dysfunctional house. Let me put it this way. My dad was married 4 times. My mom was married 3 times. Me, my brother, and sister experienced every kind of abuse you could name except sexual. Just go down the list. Physical, emotional, whatever. All of it. Okay? In a room this size, some people don't even feel loved at home. But you know what? On Sunday, when they come here, Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone feels loved. Okay? Number three. Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone can experience God's grace. You know what? None of us are perfect. We all do stuff that's embarrassing. We all do stuff that's stupid. We all do stuff that you're going, oh my heavens, why in the world did I do that or say that? We all do that. Some of you do it more than others. That's just the numerical way it plays out. But you know what? Here is a place that it's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to not be perfect. Because here is a place where you can be radically loved, radically accepted, and experience God's grace. Okay, next. Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where no one falls between the cracks. It would break my heart to know that a kid would show up here needing everything we've talked about, and they stood in a corner and nobody spoke to them and they left and didn't feel the love of God. That would break my heart. That would break God's heart, and I hope it would break your heart. Okay, next. And this will be the last one. Fellowship Bible Church should be a place where everyone can say, Jesus is telling a great story through my life. And by the way, my name is Brian Dodd. I greet at the 9:15 service. I stand at the front door. I'm there every week. If you're ever feeling down or low and you're thinking God doesn't love you or God doesn't care and for whatever reason it's not working out, you come up there and talk to me. We'll have a conversation just like I had here, and I'll pull out of you the incredible story God's telling through your life. You know what? Because I know He's telling one through your life. That's what He does. We've already proven that. Okay? So those are the 5 applications. And finally, if you've not written it down, if you've not tweeted it, if you've not put it on your Facebook, once again, final slide, I am popular with Jesus, and that's what I want to do. Now I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have Brandon come up. But here's what I want to pray. I'm going to pray a couple of things, okay? For those of you who feel unpopular, we're going to pray 2 things. One, we're going to pray... None of us are perfect. If there's things that maybe you've done, we're just going to have a little time of repentance, okay? Also, if you've never realized you're popular with Jesus, we're going to give you a chance to settle that right now. We're going to pray that Jesus Christ right now will change your life for eternity, and you will never have felt as much love as you're about to feel in about the next 2 minutes. For those of you that are popular, we're going to pray this. Number one, we're going to have a time of repentance for you too. If you've not used that popularity to point people to Jesus, but you've kind of been the bully or whatever, that kind of deal, hey, we've all been there, or some of us have. We're going to pray and we're going to repent of that. And then we're going to turn around and we're going to pray that God gives you supernatural wisdom to be able to spot people that you can point to Jesus. Are y'all with me on that? All right, let's pray. Lord, I love these kids. My daughter's one of them, and I've met a ton of them. And Lord, I know as much as I love them and as much as I care about them, it does not compare to what you think about them. And Lord, right now, I just want to pray for anybody right now who doesn't feel popular. Lord, they've bought a lie. They are so popular with you. You took time putting them together. You put time weaving their heart together and giving them a life that'll tell your story. And I just pray, number one, that you encourage them. And number two, if they've done some things that have just been mean and repelled people and pushed people away, that right now, Lord, they're just repenting of that and saying they're sorry. Lord, none of us are perfect. We've all done that. And Lord, for people who don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do not know you. I've been doing my life my own way. Nothing's working. But Lord, if even half of what Brian said today is true, I want every bit of it. And Lord, I ask right now that you come into my life and you come into my heart and you change me forever. Lord, I want to experience that love that he was talking about. I want to experience your love, and I want to spend every moment with you here on earth and all through eternity. And Lord, I pray right now, too, for people that have a level of influence. I pray that you just give them the absolute ability to look across a room and have the courage to tell people, hey, don't make fun of them. Matter of fact, not only don't make fun of them, let's go over there and include them in what God's doing here and watch and see what God does in their life. And Lord, I do those five things that popped up. I pray no one falls through the cracks. I pray that we all experience God's love here. And Lord, I pray that this youth group will be talked about for eternity because of how they included people, they reached out to people, they walked across the room to introduce themselves to people. And because of that, you changed a neighborhood, you changed schools, you changed a community, and you changed the world. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. And I will now turn it to Brandon.
All right. Hey, give Brian a round of applause for coming out this morning. Hey, so I just want to do a quick wrap up, and then we're going to be done. But I hope you guys leave. Not only with the phrase that I'm popular with Jesus, but I hope you guys picked up the common trend of all the scriptures that he referenced, everything that he talked about in the midst of our Wonder series. I mean, how amazing is it? Seriously, stop and think about it. That God loves you. That you matter so much to him that he was willing to come to this earth to die in our place. So I want to encourage you not only to remind yourselves that you're popular with Jesus, but to go home and reread John 3:16 and 17, that you matter to him. Because, guys, nothing else in this world matters. Nothing. Nothing matters except knowing our Lord. And so I'm excited. I hope you guys were filled up today, all right? I hope your heart was stirred, your soul was moved by the power of Jesus through those words, through those scriptures. And so this week, be blessed. Say hi on your way out to somebody that maybe you don't know. Do one of those things that he just talked about. Let's put those applications to work. Does that sound good? All right, y'all have a great week. We will see you next Sunday. No prayer breakfast.